Arizona Matt Morales, how's it going? This week is Capital Times Best of Capital Week for nominations. We want you to get out there if you can. Go to azcapitaltimes.com, click on events, click on 2017 Best of the Capital, and nominate your friends at Copper Talk. Remember, Barrett Marson for Best PR Firm and Marson Media. Marilyn Rodriguez for Best Lobbyist Under 40 Female. Sam Richard, Best Lobbyist Under 40 Male. And yours truly, Matt Morales, for Best Government Lobbyist. Hey, do us a favor. You love this show. We love you. Show us some love, too. And now, let's start the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Copper Talk, a Signy Die edition. Everybody, joining me today, Matt, Marilyn, Mr. Richard, singular.
Hello,
hello. It is so good to have you guys.
It's great to be here.
The real lobbyists of this world. I'm just a faux...
You're just a poor country lawyer.
Just a poor country lawyer, legislative watcher.
Oh, I love that an ongoing trope in our show is that you can't remember Sam's name. We should just keep...
No, it's Richard singular.
It's okay.
Plural.
Keith will always be more popular than I will.
Anyways, guys, so Signy Die for the first time in over a decade ended in the light of day.
Yes.
So wonderful, terrific. And, winners and losers have been talked to death. But so let's talk a little bit about the themes of this session, 121-day session or whatever it was. Clearly, it was education was the main theme. It was talked about almost on a daily basis down here. Did education get its due in the end?
I don't know if there was a due to get. I guess that's totally subjective. So what I learned lobbying for K-12 and then on the university side is that there are vast differences on the left and the right of opinion on how we should be managing Arizona's education system. I, on the right, had meetings that ranged all the way from we shouldn't be funding education with tax dollars to we need to extend and expand Prop 301 on the right. And then on the left, right, everywhere in between, you know, increasing funding for education, 25% pay raise for teachers, splitting up the charters and districts. There are so many people who feel passionately about it, and these many of them are elected officials. And I think that that lack of focus was on display this session. There was a lot. There were a lot of priorities coming at the governor and leadership during the budget negotiations that were not necessarily expected by me.
But if you look at it, education received so much of new money. For the next year, the 27 or so million for the universities for their bonding and building renewal efforts and expanding some research buildings, to modest teacher pay raises, and the early literacy programs, JTED's got some money. So I think there were a lot of issues that got funded in the legislative session,
or
here.
Partially funded,
or partially funded, but there's new money into education, and that is important. I mean, certainly, we're not now all of a sudden in the middle of the pack of education funding, but I think it's important to acknowledge that there is some substantial amount of new money, and that we will see better programs in the future thanks to what the legislature
did this
year.
Sam, are we at our inflation levels? Is with all of the spending, do we know?
Well, this is all above inflation because that was part of the deal, but it's a minimal investment over inflation. I think to Barrett's point, it did have the biggest chunk of new money out of the budget, but relatively, I mean, this is a drop in the bucket from what's needed. There's still about a $1.2 billion hole if you look at from what was cut after the recession and because of the recession. But I think for me, two interesting things came up around the education debate. One was, I think, frankly, a startling trend that universities want to be separated from the idea that they are an arm of the government. They are part of the state government, right, and they require public investment. But if you looked at their arguments, they were trying to say they're better or they're different.
Different
than
they're not government.
Access. Yeah, they're not access. They're, you know, they're not corrections. They're not any of this stuff. But they are a line item in the state budget, just like anybody else. And I think the other, for me, startling trend was this idea that a new book explores that's called the End of Expertise. And, you know, yes, everyone has a particular motive or a particular bent on a worldview, but when you have everyone in the education community, all the alphabet soup lining up on things like teacher certification and results-based funding and all of these other things that the entire education community says is a bad idea, but then a few singular voices inside the legislature supported by loud voices on the outside like the chamber can ram through ideas. There's this end of expertise. What is ASBA good for? What is AEA good for? What is the Association of Superintendents good for?
Some people would say not much.
Well, I don't know. But
if they can't put forward, you know, objective analysis of policy, and that was happening, and it was over-politicized by politicians.
I think that these groups that went against the education groups may have led, and this is me kind of guessing what this is going to end up as in the future. I think these groups led the governor and the majority caucus astray. I think that Sam's right, that there was a lot of noise from the heavy hitters at the legislature, specifically the chamber, but others, also others, where the Republican majority is kind of boxed in on education. And I can tell you that outside of the echo chamber, I've just been asking, you know, man on the street style questions of individuals who have not interfaced with the legislature, because I know we all think it's everything and everybody knows what's going on, but for the most part, people don't give a shit. And the one thing that I keep hearing over and over is, well, what's this I hear about the governor giving teachers a cup of coffee as a raise? Yeah. I am hearing that over and over and over. And I also keep hearing from people who have a spouse that is a teacher or are teachers themselves that they're furious with the legislature and the governor. And how many teachers
isn't
are
that a common
state?
Theme, though?
No, it's not. It's not. I don't think.
I think it was ambivalence previous to that. People don't care what happens.
I don't think the party has. They outdid themselves this time in just pissing off every single teacher in the state. And I don't think that bodes well for you.
I don't think they did. I really don't think. I actually talked to some teachers, certainly not a lot like Sarah Huckabee Sanders did to all the FBI agents who dislike Comey. But I had talked to some teachers, and whenever I would meet a teacher, I would ask them what they thought of the small pay raise they were getting. Some were annoyed, there's no doubt. And some were happy that it was being talked about and that they were getting something. I found a mix of opinions on that. So I was heartened by that in a way that, I don't think the 2% that they're getting is nearly enough. But at the same time, you know, it's the state is taking on this issue, this reality or this issue when it hasn't in the past. So it's truly new money for them. I mean, it's still incumbent upon the districts to pay the teachers and to give them raises and to ask voters to increase taxes for their local schools. So I think it's a good thing that the state is stepping in. I don't know that they have to solve every school district's problem.
So that's the thing is, you, like you said, it's new territory that they're mm-hmm. they're claiming, you know, they're claiming a stake in, and you got to be ready to define that, right? Yeah. So I think that wherever this lands, and right now, just, and I know everything's painted on my side from the left, but right now it's not looking good for the right, because what did everybody see that vote that went up, Mitzi Epstein threw up on teacher pay, and then the Capital Times tweet that said everyone in red voted against teacher pay?
Yeah.
I think that is going to be the most influential thing out of this session.
Because the AEA this year is doing a really great job of controlling the message. Better than in years past. Maybe that's what it is that I've tried to look at the numbers before between teachers that are actually paying into the union and what the AEA is like. There's a differential. I don't even think it's a majority of teachers, but the AEA has done a fabulous job this year of making sure that their headlines, their tweets, and their words get above everybody else's. I haven't heard anything about the House Republican caucus putting forward like a message that would counter it.
Something about boats?
Boats, the real winners of the session.
I'm on a boat, man.
All right, let's move on.
Captain from, John Allen. Sorry.
From education. And I think another theme of this session was civility and sometimes lack thereof.
Isn't that the theme of every session?
No, yes. I think it was even more so this year. Even though, I mean, you had, I think, the leaders of the two chambers really make inroads in talking to the minority party. Mesnard met often with Democratic leaders. Even Schroeder met with Democrats to talk about their budget priorities, whether they would ever get encompassed in the budget is a whole different story, but he met with them, and sometimes that's just nice right there. But there were also some pretty ugly incidents.
Where do you want to start?
Down there. And I wonder, is this the new reality of the legislature?
That's the new reality. You hear that in the background?
It's an ambulance. So, I would say, and I think that there's we can go down the line of all the times that Rule 19 was evoked, or how many times people caught lawmakers in the hall on the way to committee and said inflammatory things. But I think that maybe perhaps there is like a both end answer to this, and that I think overall there is a bigger middle that wants to work together through, you know, I know conversations that Marilyn has had and I've had and that Matt's had down at the Capitol. There are Republicans who are interested in exploring the possibility of raising taxes to reshape Proposition 301. And even just outside of that idea, there are Republicans that look at our revenue picture and say something needs to be changed. So I think that there's opportunities for a bigger middle, which makes the individuals on the outer ends of that even more visible. So when you have someone like Representative, you know, Thorpe or Fincham, who are very quick on the trigger when it comes to Rule 19, think they might be most visible in doing it, but I really do think that they're the outlier in that. There really is a quiet majority of people who are getting along.
Well, and just as it relates to how floor was run and what I think Barrett's talking about in civility, Mesnard and I have said this all throughout session consistently. Speaker Mesnard brought back something to the legislature that I think is what individuals before my time fantasize about, which is like, oh, regular the good old days, right? It doesn't have to be as partisan.
Just regular
people
order.
People can have their say, right? People can be civil and disagree. There's an elevated amount of civil discourse. And yeah, people had uncomfortable conversations, but Speaker Mesnard created the platform on which they could have them. And I think more often than not, he succeeded at that. And it's not
solidly
easy.
Efficient.
Yes.
Versus past years. Solidly. No,
especially like
no
the past 2 years.
4-hour discussions on feral cats. No crazy long. Like I love the legislature, and I sit there and I grind my hands in my face sometimes over and over again. JD, who else jumped in? Oh, it was TJ too. TJ was up there pro-temming.
Yeah, a lot.
And he was doing a great job of keeping it together.
Yeah, they did a great job. I think they acknowledged something that I felt for a long time, which is that it doesn't
about being,
need to be
being
as
under 45
partisan.
And being in the legislature just gives you an advantage?
No, I think it just comes from ideology. Like, they come from that middling out that Sam's talking about, where they have on occasion agreed with Democrats and know that they are people and human and want to treat them like colleagues, as opposed to the more activist-y types on the left and right, where all they know how to do is scream at one another.
My wonder is this, is because there's so many cool freshmen left and right that had walked in this year and like, what in the world is going on here? Why is this so crazy? Is it the longer you stay in the legislature, the more partisan you become?
I think it depends on the person.
You think some people just walk in far right and far left?
No, I think it depends on the person, just at every level, right? So in places like LD11, Vince Leach, Mark Fincham, and Steve Smith territory, whoever runs the furthest to the right in a primary is going to win the general, and that person is probably going to be a far righter, which we can see through those three that is the case. Mm-hmm. But then people who compete in these competitive districts, like Brophy McGee, Bowie, Butler, Epstein, you can see them middling out. Bowie pissed off his party a ton this session. McGee pissed off her party a ton this session.
To the benefit of the citizen.
They at least argue that. And I know that there are people who agree with them and there are people who disagree with them. But they at least, I mean, they didn't bring partisanship, right? They brought their incentives from their district.
Yeah.
And I think to a certain extent, Matt, I think that the opposite of what you said may be true, although we might not ever know about it again until we get rid of term limits. I think it's something that I've said here before, but you know, Alfredo Gutierrez wrote the introduction to the biography of Bert Barr. You know, think about what that, do you think that Rebecca Rios is going to write the introduction to John Allen's biography? I mean, I just like the, that level.
She's working on Gowan's biography.
that level of camaraderie just isn't there when you have these term limits. So I don't think it's how long people are there. It's that they aren't there long enough to develop personal relationships. So partisan, you know, monikers tend to be what kind of draws people apart or together, depending.
I'm super excited about next session. Now that a lot of these freshmen have their feet underneath them, their sea legs are ready to go.
What do you think is going to be the big thing during 2018? So this is weird, right? You're going into 2018. Trump's president. Midterms aren't usually great for the party in charge, just historically speaking. You're going to be thinking about that.
I think that had it not been coming into an even year, we would see more taxes for education.
Do you think we'll see that before or after the 2018 election?
I think it's 19. No, we're going to have to wait till 19 till we see Republicans waiting to step up to increase taxes for education.
I think that's going to be a problem for you guys.
This is going to how it's going to happen. 18 is going to come along. Republicans are going to take a hit in some districts where we thought we were safe all across the United States. It's going to change the mindset of the party to go, wait a second, maybe we need to pull back on some of the things that we need. And we're just going to go for it in a different direction. But who knows?
I mean, I think more people like peas in guacamole than approve of President Trump's performance of president right
nice
now.
Reference.
So I think that there's going to be, you know, a big hill to climb for people to try and separate themselves from Trump next year. So I don't know if it would be wise for Republicans to wait until 2019 to act aggressively on education.
Says the liberal activist.
That's no, what I'm just saying. I'm just saying. If you guys want to wait, go ahead.
It's usually the odd year where people get a little more like crazy about what they're going to put forward. In the even year, they try to get out of session as fast as possible so they start raising money before the November comes. I don't see it happening. So we'll figure it out. Hey, Barrett, what else is going on in your life?
Well, in my life, let me tell you. No, I think that we one of the next themes, and it is a usual theme down at the legislature, is taxes, tax cuts, tax policy. This year we saw, particularly at the last day of session, we saw a couple of ideas that were previously dead rise from the ashes, which again is, again, no one is ever safe until signed
by. Zombie strikers.
Yeah, but you know, we did have a small general tax cut that was slipped into the budget through negotiation. Sam, you know, I know Democrats oppose any tax cuts because they think government is starved, but these small tax cuts that are broad, this one in particular is broad, goes to, you know, raises the deduction levels. That's a good thing for the vast majority of Arizonans, right?
I mean, it makes...
That one's better than some of these targeted picking winners and losers.
It makes the teacher pay look huge because I think this is going to basically be increase of $5 or $10 for someone on you know, their average income. But, you know, I think that it is hard to run a counterpoint, an effective counterpoint to the sexiness, the political allure of a broad-based tax cut. But I do think, and this might be my Pollyannish ideas coming to the fore, but I think that narrative has run its course. I mean, you saw some important reporting by the Center for Investigative Reporting that we did not collect $13.7 billion last fiscal year. So that dwarfs the overall state budget, right? That's almost 1.5 times what we collected in our general fund. So, and I think people are kind of getting woke to that fact. So I don't think, and I think that you've also seen the minority caucuses in both chambers be careful to not say that they are interested in raising taxes. They're interested in closing the loopholes and stopping
to raise
the cutting.
Taxes.
But I think you're not raising taxes.
You're creating new taxes. How about that?
No, you're restoring the old paradigm. Yeah. That's not right. Look, we don't have to have the messaging battle.
Are you pulling a no new taxes
here.
Move?
No, we're not. We don't have to have the messaging battle here, but I think that people understand the difference between closing a loophole and a new tax. There is a difference. Whether it's just semantic.
I don't know what that is.
I
don't know what the difference is.
In 1952, there was one tax deduction in the TPT system. Right now, there's over 330. So closing those loopholes
329 of them? Is that what you want to close?
That's not necessarily raising taxes. That's restoring our tax system that is currently upside down and manipulated by a few special interests like Intel, like others, who just got a sweetheart deal a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I mean, so I think there's a broad agreement here that Sam's plucking at. And we're kind of going outside of the middle where you have Steve Farley and David Farnsworth introducing a bill to study this. That couldn't make its way across the finish line because it was opposed quietly by corporate interests, right? Yeah. And towards the end, I think that AZCIR report was helpful. So I think now you're going to start to see more interest in this because it isn't, you're not raising taxes, which is politically difficult. You are closing loopholes at the legislative level and bringing in new revenue that you should have had, some people think, I think, you should have had in the first place. So I think, and I don't mean to speak for Sam, but what he's getting at is you're not introducing new revenue. You're pulling revenue that was already supposed to be there to begin with.
We're just sending a collection notice to the big moneyed interests that have run amok in this place for the last couple of decades.
You're going to see spending to the tune of anti-weed money once that thing hits the floor.
And I think that that naked self-interest will be easy to point out. I mean, I think that if the only people that are against closing loopholes are large corporations, I think it'll be pretty easy to win that narrative.
Yeah.
So I think
that you're going back to being Pollyanna-ish. I think you're walking into that debate just the same way.
Oh, no. I think so. The anarchist in me wants to push this and let them fight it and then run an initiative.
Okay, Che Rodriguez. That's just not the way it's going to play out.
No, because people... It's going to be quiet. No, look at how many people turned out for Trump and Sanders on the on the basis of getting their own and handouts to others.
And then look at... Now, by the way, look at what they did on the last day of session. I think even Bob Robb wrote how horrible these two tax ideas were. Giving money to small businesses to help them, which seems like just a nice thing, but should government be picking those kinds of winners and losers? I mean, I don't know that government is in the business of doing nice things for quote unquote small business.
Right.
And so I wonder if why some of the hardcore Republicans who don't like picking winners and losers, I'm wondering kind of why they supported that idea. I mean, not all tax cuts are created equally, if you will.
That's right.
And not all tax cuts are worthy.
Yeah, you're plucking at the budget debate as a whole. There were certain members of the Republican caucus who said directly to me, I'm not happy about this vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's close this up with... now that we've had a few days, I think one of the themes of this session was boring. I think it was a boring session. Aside from maybe the ESA battle, you saw no big real fights.
It was wonky exciting. What are you talking about?
I don't know. There was a day where people were protesting at Debbie Lesko's house in her bushes.
Yeah.
There was
with Sean Spicer?
Yeah.
There was a... There was a day that teachers paraded around the Capitol in boats. Ron Paul came without invitation to talk about legal tender. You had the Women's March.
How about
you had
the science entire march. Democratic caucus going in hiding because of they felt that Isela was slighted?
Their refusal to come to the floor because of bullying.
Right. I wouldn't call that hiding, though.
They shot over. They like all scampered away from the house. It was like a flood. They just jacked. It was gone. I was standing at the door trying to get out of the way. They were running out so fast.
I don't know.
I'm a big obstruction. Believe me, that when someone hits that button, they're gonna go fly.
I mean, there were no reporters getting thrown off the floor.
Yeah,
there were no fistfights in the gallery.
Oh, that's always good.
It was civil discourse, but there was discourse.
Don't you just love the new security after a full session?
And perhaps maybe what I would say, Barrett, is maybe not so much boring, but a small twist on that is that there was a really low bar, and the expectations were set at such a way that any modest improvement would look like the governor had big wins, that legislative leadership had big wins, all down the line. Because, you know, you had the governor come out with a very, very ambitious sounding state of the state address, but it did not correlate with all that much of an aggressive legislative agenda.
Right.
There were really
the governor did well this session.
But he did. But again, it was.
But compared to what the expectations were, he did well. There weren't really a lot of expectations.
Right. Exactly. And when I say it was a boring set, I mean, again, aside from maybe the ESA fight, there really weren't a lot of
riots.
No, there just weren't a lot of controversial bills. First of all, many of them were killed.
The riot bill made the big story AP.
Yeah, but that never got out of.
It got out of the Senate.
Got out of the Senate. Right. But I don't even think it was all that controversial until it was written about. But again, the number of bills that you can point to are very few. You know, most of those Thorpe bills that were pretty egregious never saw the light of day, or maybe got a committee hearing.
Strong committee chairs made sure that things got evened out.
And so I just think that this session was bad for The Daily Show. It was bad for
comedians.
Yeah, you know, comedian. I think it was bad for Democrats who really wanted to go.
Weren't paying attention.
Maybe
our voting rights were stripped away. Our voting reproductive rights were not stripped away.
No.
You're gonna talk to me?
It became harder.
Voting rights did not get stripped away.
Oh my God!
There may be new obstacles to getting your initiative on the ballot, but your voting rights have not been stripped away.
Sorry, ballot initiative and referendum. So, you know, access to democracy took a hit.
Democracy is everywhere. Accessing it is up to you.
You get out of here.
I'm serious.
We're about to come to blows in the studio.
I had almost 95 bills that fell into my purview, and I'm going to agree with Barrett. Only about 3 of them made it near the finish line.
There was a huge effort that had to go on. So speaking of things that went outside of the echo chamber, there were members of the legislature who were hearing at weddings and birthdays about the ballot initiative bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That was a problem. That was a big fight. And it's
we're going to find out
about
that this summer. We're going to have something to talk about, and that's what we're going to be talking about.
And I would say, to the extent that it was boring, you saw a lot of people a little nervous about the public backlash, right? Because the riot bill did get to the big story AP, right? And I think that scares people on the ninth floor, and it scares people in legislative leadership. They don't want Comedy Central to have a good session.
And that's the difference between, say, this year and some previous years, that where people weren't thinking
so
about
they just
that kind
got
that
better
kind of
at
stuff.
PR.
We did not need to be.
That's great. Hey, you know, better at something is good.
Puts you out of a job.
All right, that's true.
Before we go, we need to tell our listeners to get out there and vote.
Yes, absolutely. You know, another big theme. Vote for us, all of us here, for best political organization, best lobbyist under 40, best...
Oh, well, I don't know if they changed it, but I did think that best hair should be inclusive of facial hair.
Well, no, best hair is gone, I think.
Oh, they just
they dismantled best hair. Sorry about
I tried
that.
To get best beard put on, but there was a little controversy.
But of course, Barrett Marson for best PR firm, best PR person, best tweeter, best
I don't know
podcaster.
If Robbie, a friend of the podcast, Robbie Sherwood, is even eligible to be nominated for best Twitter since he's not directly at the Capitol anymore.
Well, he doesn't even tweet much.
If I supplant him as a nominee, vote me.
Anyways, and
best female lobbyist under 40. We gonna be voting for you?
Me?
Yeah,
me?
Of course you.
Oh no!
As long as you vote for me for best government.
I don't participate in these.
You do.
In these things.
How many times have we seen? You've been in videos. You've been in everything.
This segment took a turn.
Only
personal
vote
PR. Come
copper
on,
top.
Anarchist over there.
Yeah. Best anarchist.
Bring it all down. Vote.
Best
bring it
podcast,
all down.
Podcast like recorded on 19th Avenue and Adams.
Oh yes,
exactly.
We're coming for you, Jason.
All right, everyone. Thanks a lot for listening. Have a terrific interim, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Ish.
If you want to know the news before it happens and get the real story behind the story, read the Yellow Sheet Report today. To subscribe, visit yellowsheetreport.com.